This is the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
Yep.
Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York.
Yep.
The ESPN New York app.
Yep.
Or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.
Johnny C. emails in, Dan Grosso makes me want to rip off my own man region.
Really?
I can't feel my
I don't know. Maybe you want to be a eunuch. I'm not sure.
Yeah, but why would you, like, if you didn't want to listen to it, you rip your ears off. Why would you rip your junk off?
Maybe to distract. You know, like, if you have a pain somewhere and you have, a bigger pain elsewhere.
Doc, I got some worms in the place. You don't want to have the worms.
There would be other things I ripped off first.
I agree.
They'll be the last, probably.
I agree. What are you saying, RJ?
I think you should take the wheel now and run through some of this Keisha audio we teased.
This is really nasty?
It's not nice.
All right. Here's a nasty show in the afternoons from 3 to 6:30 on 98.7 ESPN called The Michael K Show. This is, I guess they somehow got wind of me calling Cass a floozy because Rick said openly last week that on their first date, Cassie, she jumped in your lap, I believe you said.
No, I did not say that.
Shoved her tongue right down your throat and played tonsil hockey.
No, I said, I meant to mention that she had her tongue in my mouth, but it was consensual.
I would hope it would be consensual.
I consented to it.
Okay. On a first date, to be that aggressive is a little alarming.
Here's the thing. I didn't go in with any expectations. I told you, when they pulled up, I thought it was the one friend. It turns out it was her. We had an amazing night.
Hang on a second. You didn't know who you agreed to have a date with?
I never met her. It was a legitimate blind date.
Why did she show up with a friend?
Because I was already in the city with the guys from my team, and they decided they were going to come meet us out. And they pulled up, and I saw her friend, and I was like, oh, that must be it, because it's, of course, the blind date. I'm expecting the worst, and it wasn't. It was her. And then still, sparks, you know, all of it.
Immediate sparks.
Immediate.
Angela Batista, Grasso should be the only one who has a chance to win this. I hate him. He's a trash garbage that needs to be lit on fire. I have one message for Dan. Bleep you. That's Angela.
Tied up underwater, head first.
He's a trash garbage that should be lit on fire.
He's a trash garbage. Anyhow, I guess the K Show got wind of me saying that Cass, who I adore, is in fact a floozy. And
you know what's crazy about her?
What?
She's more upset now than she was when you originally said it.
Why?
Because now it's gone to a different show now. Like, haha, funny on this show. Now, all of a sudden, it's on the K Show.
Right.
Not happy with you.
With me?
No.
I'm not the one who brought it back up.
Well, you said it.
I said it. I mean, I'm a content creator. What can I do? Anyhow, here is the K Show reacting to me calling the beautiful Cass a floozy.
Did you guys also hear the thing last week that apparently Dave was calling Rick's wife a floozy?
Yeah.
I couldn't believe it.
I was shocked.
I was going to bring it up, but I was so aghast. I didn't want to start an inter-war or an inter-show war.
Somebody had to be working from home that day because there would have to be fisticuffs. No, you'd have to punch him. Rick would have to punch him.
And for those that don't know what we're talking about, like Rick said that he and his wife made out on the first date. Dave was just shocked that that could happen.
By the way, it's so telling about Dave, isn't it?
Right.
Isn't what you're really learning there about Dave's game that he like cannot believe that people make out on first dates? Well, what is the point of first dates?
All right, first of all, it's not make out. It's the fact that you said took her tongue and threw it in your mouth. RJ, did he not say
make out mean?
She threw her tongue into my mouth on the first date? Is that not a direct quote of what he said last week?
I'd have to check the tape.
Check the tape.
What do you think happens when you make out?
What do you think making out is?
It was the way you said it, I thought John Holmes was going to walk into the scene. It was graphic.
But I didn't intend for it to be that graphic. I apologize.
If you had said, I swear to God, this is true. If you had said we made out on the first date, I would have no big deal. I would have said no big deal.
So as soon as you heard the tongue,
you were so forceful with the tongue and thrown in and the aggressive nature, it felt like it was a lot.
You're right. Yeah, I think I did that because I know it aggravates me when I say it. So I was hoping that it would kind of like.
Like make out, that's fine.
Yeah.
Like the voracious nature of the aggressiveness. I couldn't believe it.
It was the aggressiveness.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Like it was like I dropped her off at her apartment and we, you know, I held her by the cheeks and we had a kiss. I'd be like, oh, that's sweet. But the fact that I envision you sitting in like a nightclub and she starts straddling you and holds your head still and starts, you know.
No.
Taking her tongue and like playing tonsil hockey.
No, choosing to turn it into a porn in your mind is not what the intention was. We made out. It was nice.
But I was not led to believe that.
Okay.
I was led to believe that it was an aggressive makeout session.
No, don't be mad at me. What started out as like an innocent conversation always somehow on that show turns into criticizing you.
Of course, because I'm always the main target on that show. They're obsessed with me.
It's unbelievable.
Which is fine. But they did go on to, I guess, take some shots at Boy Wonder over here as well. You want to hear what they said about
me?
You? I guess, RJ, they take shots at him as well here? Yeah, they do.
All right,
they
do. Listen.
I guess they were posed with a CMT. Rick, Don, or Peter? This is your best friend, Michael. I would imagine he would marry you, right?
Listen, I don't know.
I don't know what he says, but I'm imagining he's going to marry you. Here he is, CMT, Rick, Don, Peter.
Me, Rick, and Peter.
All right.
Cuddle, marry, trash.
I would marry Don. I would cuddle Rick.
Aww.
And I would tase and trash Peter.
So wow. he'll cuddle you.
Yeah, which is fine. That's nice.
Of course it's fine. That's nice.
Well, he's known Don for how many years? They spend every day together. I mean, I get it.
Okay. Well, that's not the worst of the lot, apparently.
There's worse?
Oh, yeah. Michael gave his take on your dear friend Brian. You ready for this?
No.
Here we go.
And I want to know about who's this? Billy is his new love?
No. Was it Brian?
Brian. Clown.
Oh, no. You're jealous.
No, not Rick. Brian. Brian's a clown.
Because look at the jealousy. That's sad.
But what does that make Rick? Did he put a clown ahead of you?
Yeah.
You know what? He has clown tendencies then, I have to say.
Wow.
Here we go. I can speak very, very frankly about somebody I care about.
Yeah. He thinks you're a clown.
I didn't realize it would make him jealous.
Of course. You didn't realize it would make him jealous? He's very sensitive.
Well, it wasn't. See, this is your problem. This is your fault. This is your fault.
RJ?
You put me in a position where I have to be truthful. I can't lie to the audience.
RJ, how is this my fault?
Well, right after Billy.
Right after Billy.
I mean, and that's the first sign. When you intentionally mess up someone's name, you know that it's gotten to him.
No. Yeah. Well, to him, yeah. I feel bad. Felt bad when I answered it.
For who, Brad?
No, Billy. No, for Michael, Jackwagon. I love them all.
But what are we doing here?
Where am I? I love them all.
No, you don't.
Yeah, no.
You don't love them all the same.
Well, no, I love Cassie the most.
You love Cassie the most.
You put me in a weird spot.
She's the only one they play tonsil hockey with.
Yeah, but you put four of my closest friends in games together. It's tough to choose.
No, you know what, Michael? I'll tell you what. Michael shouldn't feel badly. You know who should feel awful? And probably break up with it. Pete and Such.
No, stop.
No, honestly, RJ, the fact that he chose a Johnny come lately over Pete and Such, who he's been friends with since they were prepubescent. Unbelievable, RJ.
Listen, I think we were talking about Eli Manning earlier. I think it's apropos. For a long time, Pete and Such were Eli Manning. You won with them? Hall of Fame friends. It seems they're being phased out. That's all.
They're not being phased out. It's life. It happens in life.
Phasing.
It's sad.
They live in a different state.
So who's Geno Smith in this situation?
Oh, wow.
Dave's going to be Geno Smith. I'm going to be IK and Polly.
What did I do? I'm just sitting here pushing the show forward. What did I do?
You know exactly what you did.
I really don't.
Got us into this predicament.
How so?
Your stupid questions.
Yeah, your question about Billy.
Yeah, about Billy and Pete and Such.
So, all right, you know what? I won't make entertaining radio anymore.
Oh, here we go.
I'll just pop on and right. I'll hold the mic like that very close. And I'll break down Eli Manning's 2011 season. He threw for, 30 plus touchdowns and 4,933 yards. And remember who the Giants be. And we'll sound like Meryl Reese while we do it. We'll break it all down. I'm Brad Sham here, Cowboys announcer. Look at that, Eli Manning. What a player. Now I'm Meryl Reese. Oh, my God. He continues to just beat over and over and over my Philadelphia Eagles. It's Bob with shoes in here. Oh, my God. I can call hockey. I can call NFL. Look at me. I'm a jack of all trades. And Eli Manning beat us as well. 99 yards to Victor Cruz. He takes it the distance. Is that what you want? Is that what you're looking for?
Bob with shoes and start catching strays.
Kenny Albert here. I wrote a book. Look at me. Don's in the forward. Look at that. Michael, we share a birthday. Oh, yeah.
I think you need to be unplugged.
Yeah, I think.
I mean, my God.
When are we going to break?
God forbid anybody have any kind of a personality with you guys.
He sounds very unplugged to me.
He's bright red.
It's like a hard reboot.
His head's going to explode.
My God.
You know what, though,
Dave? Are you okay?
What?
You have an opportunity in front of you, I think. Because.
Walk me through this, RJ.
Because you were just almost punched in the face, as we just heard. You were IK and Polly for a moment in Rick's world. Pete and Such, they're on the way down. I think you need to combine forces.
So I get in touch with Pete and Such, and we make a master.
A new triumvirate.
Yeah.
Yep.
I mean, that would be nice.
I got a very nasty text message about Dave.
From who?
I can't tell you from
who. Well, then I don't care.
Have him rank his friends. Oh, right, there are none. Just the Giants who don't love him back.
Who's that from? That's from Dinahan?
Yes. Yeah.
That's right.
That was nasty.
I have great friends.
That was nasty.
Yeah, well, that's Dinahan.
He is nasty.
I mean, you adore Dinahan for what he is. He's a nasty guy. I love him. He's got a nasty,
yeah, got nasty tendencies.
Yes.
Yep.
Absolutely. You want to get to the
calls?
Are
you okay?
Me?
Do we need to have an intervention here?
I'm fine. Why?
He just went on like a 2-minute tirade where your head almost popped off.
I'll do it again if I have to.
With all different
shots at all the broadcasts.
Yeah, like you've been hanging around Grasso too long. You're doing voices.
Well,
you know,
it was unsolicited. You guys just attacking me.
I'm not taking the microphone.
I'm not sure Brad Sham ever sounded like
yeah.
that.
Yeah. Kenny Albert.
Yeah.
I mean, it's wild.
What do you mean?
I never seen anything
like that. I'll do it again if I have to.
I don't want
to
see it again.
I'll do a Dick Vitale. I got a Dick Vitale. You want that?
You don't have a Dick Vitale.
Oh, I absolutely do.
No, I don't even want it. Save it. It's too much.
I'm tempted, but I'm like, oh, no, that could be disastrous.
It could all be disastrous.
I mean, this banana must have been some good banana.
It was the John Elway banana.
You are shot out of a
cannon. It was unbelievable, that banana. It was like a vitamin B12 shot that day.
Oh, my goodness.
Let's go to John in Jersey City. Hi, John. You're next up on 98.7 ESPN. Mm-hmm. RJ, good job. John.
Hello.
Hi, John. What do you think you'd want to say?
I don't know.
Well, it says Eli Manning - he's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, so maybe that.
Hall of Fame call.
Mm-hmm. Hey, John, how you doing?
Whose fault is this, you think?
Nobody's.
Nobody's?
Mm-mm.
John's fault?
No, this is John's fault.
This is on John.
He was on hold for 52 minutes.
So what? So you just stop paying attention after a certain amount of time?
I hear breathing. John.
Yeah. Well, at least he's alive.
No.
John?
He's doing something.
I'm going to put him back on hold.
Yeah.
We're going to maybe get back to John. Let's go
to Ed.
You're
really giving him a chance.
Well, you know, that's what we like to do, give people second chances here on the show. Ed in Williston Park. Hi, Edward.
Hey, guys. First-time caller, long-time listener. Thank you for taking my call. I would say Eli Manning should be first ballot Hall of Famer. If you consider the fact that he's never had a true number one wide receiver outside of Hakeem Nicks for a few seasons and Plaxico for a couple of seasons, his numbers speak for itself. Aikman also, if you compare him against Aikman, whose numbers weren't really the greatest, but had a great offensive line, Emmitt Smith, a great defense. I would say if you compare him against Aikman, he should also be a first-timer. And if you think of the list of two-time Super Bowl MVPs, Eli is right there. You can question that first one, but still, he beat the undefeated Patriots. And that's why I think he should be a first ballot for sure.
And thanks for the call, Ed. And I'm confident that he will be. Aren't you? Not what you think will happen. I mean, not what you believe should happen. What do you think will happen?
I think he'll be voted in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For a first ballot, right?
Yeah, but we were talking about this earlier. Like, if you're a Hall of Famer or you're not, like, once you get in, you can decide whether or not, you know, this guy's in this wing and this guy's in this wing. But I just think even making guys wait for as long as they wait, 5 years, like, God forbid something happens. Comes out, if you want to do two, whatever it is, like, is he a Hall of Famer or not? Let him enjoy the fact that he's a Hall of Famer. I hate that when it's like this guy, no, and then all of a sudden guy dies.
Well, but 5 years, guys don't usually die in their 40s.
No, I know, but God, I'm just saying, God forbid something happens.
I mean,
you made the point today.
But like when you get to the Veterans Committee and guys are in their 80s and they never know, I understand that. But 5 years, I mean, you're going to retire at 35 or 37. Odds are you're going to be with us at 42.
No, but why not when it's fresh? When the career is fresh?
2 years then. Yeah. Right?
Santiago was, I mean, he'd be the one standing up in the room.
Going against Eli?
Yes.
Well,
I don't think the
caller says he never had a number one receiver. Like, are we forgetting about Plaxico Burress?
And Amani Toomer. Right.
And Victor Cruz.
Well, Victor Cruz was a sensation, but that was so bizarre the way that happened.
But it happened.
It did happen.
Yeah, so?
I don't know that Victor Cruz was a number one receiver, though.
No, but he was a good receiver.
And, by the way, I was thinking about this.
Plaxico was.
I watched the final drive again. Super Bowl 46 was posted on social media,
with
and I watched
it.
And we forget how great Akeem Nicks was when he was good. Akeem Nicks, when he was good, was a special wide receiver.
Yeah, and he had a devastating injury. That
right, it went downhill quickly.
Yeah, it derailed his career.
But he was a great player when he was in his prime.
Yeah, I don't know how we got into this whole conversation anyway, but I mean...
Well, it's a fun conversation.
No, I know it's a fun conversation. I think there's a lot we could have done today. I'm just surprised we got into this.
I like this.
No, I like
you,
it too.
You don't
I'm just
like
saying, I'm surprised.
Kind of just finding a new route and taking it? It shows no, that we're
sometimes
creative.
Those are the best days. Yeah. I'm just saying, I didn't expect this today.
Yeah. Well, here you are.
And here we are.
Welcome.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day. But sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And, boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
I think they're listening to me.
They're everywhere, Dave.
I know you're here.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want.
Woohoo! Over here!
Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Warmer weather, but rain all the way through.
Yeah, we had some, this new, like, little basement flooding situation. That's not
oh,
great.
No.
Yeah. Not great.
That's not good.
No. No, but now, again, no, I don't want to, you know, bring up things that we've already talked about,
right.
But the whole Billy / Brian being the clown, first person there to help with the flood.
Brian. Now, let's revisit this quickly. Did I ever once call Brian a clown?
No, I'm not talking
never,
about you.
Never. Am I always more than kind and nice to Brian?
Yeah, you like Brian.
I like Brian a lot.
A little jealous of Brian, but I think
I'm
like
jealous
him.
Of Brian?
A little bit.
Why?
Because I feel like he's kind of like...
Wedged his way in?
In a little bit.
Well, what I find odd is that Brian is always there.
I don't think he's always there.
RJ, is Brian not always there?
Recently he's around.
I mean, the holiday party, you brought Brian.
In fairness, though, I brought my father-in-law, too.
Yeah, also strange.
I thought it was just like a nice get-together.
No, it wasn't. If everyone brought two people, the place wouldn't even be able to hold everybody.
Nowhere in my invitation did it say... alone.
Is it implied alone unless they say, please bring others?
I thought we were just celebrating the holiday together.
Oh. And anybody that you knew, you bring them
not
to celebrate
knew,
said
like,
holiday.
People close to you, you bring in just to get to meet everybody. That was nice.
So you didn't think to bring your wife, you thought to bring your father-in-law and some random...
Well, no, wife I did invite. She was unable to attend, but mm-hmm. sent her pictures. Because we had the ball right there, remember?
That was beautiful.
It was nice.
That was nice, actually.
It was nice.
Yeah.
I thought it was a great time.
RJ, did you at all think of, you know what, let me bring some pals to this thing?
Didn't cross my mind.
No.
But you know what?
When you say it like that.
I thought Brian and Doc added something.
They bring something to the table.
I think they're great.
Mets tailgate, right to the table they brought something.
More appropriate to bring them to the Mets tailgate than
probably.
To this.
Probably.
As long as we're on the same page, I think it's fair. Let's go to Ira in Staten Island. Hi, Ira.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, what's up?
Ira, what's going on? What are you, in a supermarket? What's happening with you here?
No. I'm just having breakfast. We're still down in Florida, coming home the end of the week. I get back to work. But, you know, it's funny with the salary cap that went up. You know, it's a good advantage for a lot of teams, especially the Jets that were kind of scrapped. But in another way, you know, other teams could spend a little more than they would have, and you lose a guy like Mike Evans. And which leads me to my point with it's going to be very interesting to see which way the Jets go, because pretty much the number one receivers are going to be off the board. And clearly they need one. I mean, Wilson's really, really good. but I think he's a 1A. I don't think he's a true number one. And the only one out there, is, you know, that's been talked about is Adams. And Douglas certainly don't care about mortgaging the future next year because he might not be around.
But you can't make a deal that if you see it right away, you're like, oh, no. Like, you can't destroy the future of the franchise.
No, yeah, but Douglas isn't going to care about the future of the franchise if you don't get it right this year. So he's all into...
Doesn't that make it dangerous, though, Ira?
Of course it does.
If this guy doesn't care about the future and he's only out to try to turn things around right now?
Of course, but guess what? Every GM has faced the same thing at some point in their career. Tannenbaum, you go on way down the list. They, when the noose is around their neck, they have to do things they might not want to do to keep their job. And hopefully it works. But, you know, the way I would approach it, to be very honest with you, I would rather overspend on the offensive line, which really they need more than a receiver, get that out of the way, and not put that – you don't have to draft a receiver with the 10th pick if you could fill in with free agency. So if you could go get yourself two guards and a tackle, if that's even possible, if you could do that, then you have the luxury of taking a receiver in the first round.
Sure. But it's a lot to ask two tackles and a guard. You want Tyron Smith?
I would do it.
Yeah.
I would pay the money for Smith, and I would get a first-tier guard, a second-tier guard, and move Tucker to right tackle, and go draft your tight end or draft your wide receiver in the first round.
Yeah, I think it's reasonable. I do. I think that's reasonable. I mean, they're going to have some combination of we're going to go heavy for receiver and heavy for offensive lineman in the draft and free agency. They're going to.
Yeah, well, and the beauty of how it works is, I mean, you get the free agency first. So, I mean, you try to address as many needs as you can and give yourself the flexibility at the draft to take, you know, the best player you available at 10. You don't have to force something. You don't have to reach for a need. Because, I mean, there's going to be really good players at 10.
Joe Alt is there at 10.
No, in a minute. Sprinting.
That's the guy.
Sprinting.
He discussed at the combine about maybe getting to block for Aaron Rodgers. You want to hear that?
I do.
Yeah, here's Joe Alt.
It'd be awesome. It'd be truly an honor to have, you know, watch him growing up from Minnesota, Wisconsin. So I've seen a lot of him play, and we played for the Packers, so it'd be very cool.
Did he say he's from Minnesota, Wisconsin?
Yeah.
Is that's a thing?
I don't think it's a thing, no.
What does that mean? Let me hear that again.
Is he from Minnesota?
Awesome. It'd be truly an honor to have, you know, watch him growing up from Minnesota, Wisconsin. So I've seen a lot of him play, and we played for the Packers, so it'd be very cool.
He says I'm from Minnesota, Wisconsin. Is there a Minnesota, Wisconsin?
That I don't know, but he's from...
I think it means the Minnesota, Wisconsin area, Dave.
Maybe? He's from North Oaks, Minnesota.
Yeah, so maybe the area. Just growing up in that area.
Oh, okay. I heard from Minnesota. I don't know. I'm not giving him a hard time.
I don't care where he's from. He's 6'8", runs a 5.07 40.
Yeah, so you pop him in at tackle.
Immediately. Let's go.
That would be nice, huh?
It would be ideal. I don't think it's going to happen, but it would be ideal.
You know you're going to wind up with a combination of receivers and offensive linemen. Mm-hmm. You just hope that they get it right.
Right, you hope you get it right, but it also to what Ira was talking about, when we just mentioned, I mean, if you can fill a certain amount of holes in free agency, it will give you the opportunity now where it's, you know, you're not forced into making a pick at 10 because there's a need that you have to address. I mean, I have a hard time believing in free agency they're going to be able to address all the needs on the offensive line.
You're not going to be able to address all the needs.
Right.
But and the thing that really hurts is you don't have that second-round pick.
You don't have the second-round pick, but, I mean, when you look at, again, we've mentioned this a couple different times, what positions this draft has a lot of talent in.
It's offensive line.
And wide receiver.
Correct.
So, I mean, even with your third-round pick, you're still going to get a good wide receiver.
Yes. Yes.
Now, will he be a one? Probably not, but, I mean, you take him with a combination of Garrett Wilson, and if there's something you can, I mean, if there's a piece in free agency that you
want to
add.
You need more than the same receiving core and a third-round pick.
And you need, you also need Alan Lazard to play like he played when Aaron Rodgers was quarterback.
I mean, the guys that we thought were possible, T. Higgins, I still think is possible. I think they could trade him.
They could, but I would also understand why you would want get Chase Dunn and then give it one more go, because it looks like they're going to lose Boyd. So I mean, it would be tough to watch. You know, at least not give it one more year.
Right. And Pittman sounds like he's going to sign a big deal
in Indy.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. You have no chance to get
Marquise Brown, Calvin Ridley.
Let's go to Julian.
What about
in the
AJ
car?
Brown?
Yeah, AJ Brown would be great.
He seems unhappy in Philly.
Hey, Julian, how you doing?
Hey, what's up, guys? Good morning.
Good morning.
I have a CMT. You guys have probably done this before, but I think just with everything going on this morning and listening to you guys, it'll be fun.
Right.
CMT The K Show, Don, Peter, and Michael.
For what reason now? Just like as much as who we like?
No, I'm sorry. I moved on from
that. I'm going to marry Michael, cuddle Don, trash Peter.
I'm going to marry Don, cuddle Michael, trash Peter.
Wow.
What? I mean, I was an afterthought when it came to Peter's wedding. An afterthought.
We both were, yeah.
Okay. So I'm sorry. I can't take
that. No, I understand that. I'm surprised.
Michael has had numerous events at his house. I've been invited to all of them.
All of them. He actually gave you your own room.
Right, because he understood.
Which is why I'm surprised you didn't marry him.
Well, Don and I have a real connection.
You say that, but Don always...
Well, I love him.
But he never has your back, ever.
Well, you know what? That's for him to figure out.
It's a one-sided relationship.
All right, so you don't have an issue with me trashing Peter?
No, I think you trashed him probably for the same reason I trashed him.
Yeah.
There was not even a thought to invite us to the wedding.
No. And then I got invited via text?
I think we were on the same text chain.
I mean, so I got invited via text chain?
Text chain, yeah.
To a wedding?
Yep.
Yeah. How could I go to that?
It wasn't even the first one. I couldn't understand the first one. This is the second one.
Right.
We're not even in the second tier. We're not even in the top tier of the second wedding.
No. But and then you see a list of like who was actually there.
It was hurtful.
He likes to hobnob.
He loves the knob.
Right.
Yep.
RJ, you went to Peter's wedding or no?
I did.
Were you on the
traitor?
Were you on the first tier?
I believe I was.
He was.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. So you were first tier material.
I don't know if I'm first tier or material based on who was there. I think we have a history.
No, but I'm saying you did not receive your invitation in the second wave.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
RJ and Peter were very close.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And now he hates you.
Well, I don't think Peter does.
No?
No.
It's more Michael that doesn't like RJ?
I think the real... I wouldn't say hatred. I think the real issue is probably most with Michael and Don.
Towards
they miss him so, well, they miss him so much. I can understand it.
Hey, Dave. Most hated at the station by far, that bozo Disney-loving ESPN suit, John Windchime.
Ooh, Windchime.
Always acting like he can do your job. Meanwhile, he couldn't hold your jockstrap. And the fact he thinks he's a better football fan, forget about it. If I ever saw him on the street, I'd like to shove a glass slipper you know where.
Wow.
Sincerely, Carlos.
Like Cinderella's.
Yep.
That's not
right.
Right in the tuchus.
Yeah. That's right.
Is
that
the word you're thinking?
I was not. I was thinking more of what Beavis and Butthead used to say.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But tuchus is better.
A little bit more acceptable.
Yeah, more acceptable.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Looking for more access to the show?
Why? Because you know why.
Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
It's very disrespectful.
I think I would
be
better on the radio if I could sit like this. I'm going to try it. This microphone doesn't really...
wildly disrespectful.
I need a headset. If I had a headset and could roam freely around the studio, I think we'd be better.
Jake L. emails in, John Losthorpe is only a casual fantasy football-driven fan, as evidenced by his reliance on Red Zone. A true fan would watch Between the 20s. John needs to stick with what he knows best, the Disney Channel. He's a fraud. Jake L.
Wow.
Yeah. That's true effort to say John Losthorpe.
Yeah. I will, listen, in defense of Winthrow, he does, he does do quite a bit of parlaying. He's not shy with the parlays. So it's not just fantasy football.
No, he has a problem.
Yeah. I don't know if it's a problem, but I mean, he no one I know does more parlays than him.
Yeah, but they're stupid. Have you asked any legitimate gambler? You called like the biggest gamblers in Vegas and said, you have a guy making 11 team parlays. He'd be like, you're throwing money away. I'm serious.
But he loves them.
Okay, he can love them all he wants. It's not bright gambling.
I don't see you parlaying.
No, because I'm not allowed to gamble anymore.
It's because you had a real problem.
Yeah, but not his baby problem. I was a man's problem is what I had.
Well, listen, I don't understand why he felt the need.
Have you done crack?
To go on this quest and come out what's supposed to be his best friend for the title of biggest football fan at the station.
But now you see what's happening. He's got his comeuppance.
He's turned heel fast.
Quickly.
Real fast.
Yeah, no, he has turned off a lot of people here at the station. And he's the big boss.
This is not overly comfortable.
Sitting like
I'm going to switch you.
Okay. Thank you for that. I mean, RJ, can you believe that he would do that to me?
It's not as bad as what he has done in the past, which is where he takes like his right heel and puts it like 2 feet to the right and his left heel and 2 feet to the left. And then he's just pointing at you.
Oh, my junk.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I was
Would you
at.
Prefer that?
Ask Dave.
No,
I don't know.
No, no, we would not.
I'll do it right now.
No, oh, I know you would. What? Why? Take it out. Oh, God, no. Okay. Let's get a Wes in East Hanover. Wes, good morning. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
Oh, good morning, and good morning, loyal listeners. You know, I got two things. One, on the Eli Manning thing, I'm impressed. I think his last name is a double-edged sword. I think he gets some breaks because he is a Manning, but I also think the pressure with being a Manning and being the number one pick and being second fiddle to your brother and being he's consistent. He had a lot of turnovers, but yet he threw a lot of touchdowns. And he was consistent, and he had those good runs. So I've come around to believe he is a Hall of Famer. I don't believe he's a first ballot, but I do believe he is a Hall of Famer. So I give him props for living up to number one in last name. And secondly, and this is changing the subject slightly, but can you guys inform me why everyone thinks Caleb Williams is so much better than all the others? I feel like he underperformed at USC given the defenses he went against. And McCarthy and these other guys, they at least won. So any thoughts on that? So appreciate you guys taking the call, and we'll talk to you soon.
Yep, you got it. I think Caleb Williams is going to be awesome. I really do. I think he's got everything you're looking for. He was not flush with great players on that offense, and he was able to make incredible plays. And if you ask anybody that's in the know of the NFL, they think he's going to be a special quarterback. And so do I.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think you look at his skill set and the things he's able to do with the football. I mean, different platforms, arm angles, and everything else. I have heard people point to the fact that he's been under Lincoln Riley. And then, how much of that has played into his success? But, I mean, when you just look at his just raw ability, I mean, it's pretty special. I mean, it really is.
I mean, he can tuck and run. He's fast. He's got a cannon. He can throw it on the run. I mean, he's had immense gains. I don't know. You look at, like, I want a guy that...
And he has the production.
That does more, that
that's
wins.
That's the thing with J.J. McCarthy.
It makes sense what people are looking for, though.
Again, I mean, I think there's something to be said about both. I think there's something to be said about, you know, a guy in big moments finding ways to win football games. And, you know, there's something... He's a winner. Guy finds ways to win. That's great.
McCarthy.
Right. I mean, that's what you're selling to me. Because, I mean, he's not asked to do what Caleb Williams is asked to do. When you got production, the way that Caleb Williams has production, and you watch some of the things he's able to do, that kind of like the throws that he makes during the course of a game that kind of jump off your TV screen. And it's, I think what everyone's looking for is when you get to this point and it's kind of like this lottery ticket, it's like, I'll give you a perfect example. Okay. By the way, Caleb Williams, 2 years at USC, this is just passing. 72 touchdowns, 10 interceptions. It's like people that play the lottery. There are some people that play the lottery every single day. It's just part of their routine.
Right.
And then there are some people like myself that you see the lottery.
You wait for the big one.
It's $800 million. Mm-hmm. I'm going to play today. And then it's not, I'm going to play. What people are looking for is, and they'll sometimes get them in trouble, a lot of times gets them in trouble, is they look for something kids can do that you can't teach. Like this guy has the ability to do things that I can't teach him how to do.
Mm-hmm.
He's, you know, it could be, you can't teach size. Look at how big this guy, like Mekhi Becton, I can't teach that size. Or, you know, look at how he can throw a football, the angles he can throw the football. I can't teach him that. There are certain things I can teach guys, but they're to a point. And then, you know, it becomes just a God-given ability that he has. And I think Caleb Williams has some of those things that you just can't teach kids to do what he can do.
Yeah, he has that it, right?
Like, as much as you want to teach J.J. McCarthy to do, hey, like, we can work every day for the rest of his life, he won't be able to do some of the things that Caleb Williams just can naturally do.
Correct. And I think that's what puts him at the head of the class.
And that's why you take him.
And I think Jaden Daniels is similar
with
to
the
that.
First overall pick.
Right? Jaden Daniels had success at a major school. How much does a major school matter?
Well, I think it depends. I mean, it depends on how you want to use it. I mean, you can use it as, well, there's production because look who he gets to throw to. I've heard that with some of the J.J. McCarthy, Jaden Daniels stuff. Is look who Jaden Daniels was throwing to. If J.J. McCarthy from Tannenbaum, J.J. McCarthy was in that offense, the numbers would be similar. I don't know.
Well,
always the case, but yeah, I mean, you can make any numbers.
Eli into one of the greats. You could make Eli into a guy that doesn't deserve. You could make Caleb Williams into a can't miss. You could make J.J. McCarthy into a can't miss or going to miss or any of these things.
I brought up that Lincoln Riley stuff because you saw it when the kid, who was the other kid that came in when Caleb Williams doesn't play at the end of the season? And he threw for like 6 touchdowns.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're like, well, it's the offense, see? How much of it was Caleb Williams or was just Lincoln Riley's that good with it? You know, his offensive system is that good. Like, people can use it for, if you're not a Caleb Williams guy, you use that.
That's
if you're
right.
not a Jaden Daniels guy and you're a J.J. McCarthy guy, you'd be like, well, look who Jaden Daniels was throwing to.
You can change the narrative to whatever you like. Sean in Connecticut. Hi, Sean. You're on 98.7.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call.
You got it.
I just want to settle the debate between Winthrop and Dave. It's clearly Winthrop because Dave actively hates football. And we can answer that.
Honestly, Sean, listen, I'm going to give you your take and your time here. How could you ever say anything like that? Like, you lose all credibility when you say, I actively hate football.
You think Eli Manning is a Hall of Fame quarterback.
So does Rick.
A guy who was mediocre his entire career. In 16 NFL seasons, he had 2 seasons where he won playoff games. He was a 4-time Pro Bowler. 4-time in 16 NFL seasons. He did nothing. He was a mediocre quarterback.
He did nothing. Sean, we all wish we could do nothing in our careers like Eli Manning.
Should you, as a Giants fan, love him and admire him? Absolutely. Do you think Matt Ryan is a sure ballot Hall of Famer?
No, I don't think Matt Ryan is a Hall of Famer.
Better than Eli Manning in every statistical category.
Except Super Bowl wins, right?
If all you care about is Super Bowl wins, then stop saying it's a Hall of Fame. Call it the Hall of Super Bowl Winners.
No, I
you
think
don't make
it's,
any sense.
I think when you look at someone's career, it's regular season in combination with the postseason. So if I'm really good in the regular season or I'm on the cusp with the regular season numbers, but I don't have the postseason numbers to kind of get me over the top, then and I'm also part of, you know, a 28-3 comeback loss in the Super Bowl. Yeah, he was an MVP. That's great. But I mean, I would be hard pressed to think that Matt Ryan's gonna get into the Hall of Fame.
Matt Ryan is not a Hall of Famer.
Eli Manning is going to get into Hall of Fame.
And by the way, and again, this is what we do. I get it. But Matt Ryan also played his home games indoors. That makes a big difference.
Yeah, it makes a big difference. But I think if they don't blow that game against the Patriots, yeah, Matt Ryan's probably, I mean, right there to be in the Hall of Fame.
Matt Ryan was also sacked 70 more times than Eli Manning. I don't know if that means anything to you, but I people calling earlier today saying Eli Manning was sacked so many times. Well, Matt Ryan, way more. Way more. And Matt Ryan, I mean, the best thing you could say about Matt Ryan is that he led a team to the Super Bowl and blew the biggest lead in Super Bowl history. That's the best thing you could say about him.
Caleb Williams, 93 touchdowns in 2 seasons.
And 10 picks. How many turnovers altogether?
He had the 10 picks, and then he had, fumble-wise, he had...
Oh, not a ton.
No, I don't think he had... He didn't have a ton. I can't find the number, but 93 touchdowns. Passing and rushing.
Luis C. says, Winthruple has turned into the show villain, and I'm here for it.
He has turned into the show villain, but I think that's what he likes. He's embracing it.
How many nicknames are we up to now?
At least 10.
I like Winthruple.
I like Winthruple. He would be down for that. A thruple.
I'd like to go to Bill in Queens and say good morning. Hi, William.
Hey, good morning, David. Listening to this last caller saying not Eli Manning, not a Hall of Famer. You're the history buff on sports, but I don't believe Dan Marino won a ton of Super Bowls.
He made one and lost by 22 points, I believe.
Right. So, but he's a Hall of Famer. You have Eli Manning won 2 Super Bowls in a 16-year career. Okay, that's a lot more than a lot of people won who are Hall of Famers in probably similar careers. If it was so easy, then you wouldn't have Tom Brady being the unicorn, you know? Thanks for taking my call.
I appreciate it. Yeah. I mean, it's a valid point. I mean, Dan Marino had Clayton and Duper, and they had a great offense, and their defense stunk. And I think, you know, Eli certainly was buoyed by that, having a great defense for an extended period of time. But again, you can slice it however you want. You can spin the narrative to make it whatever it is that you want to make it. You can.
Yeah, well, I mean, it depends on what side of the argument you're on. I mean, either you're someone that thinks he's a Hall of Famer, or he's not a Hall of Famer, or he doesn't deserve to be on the first ballot, but eventually should be a Hall of Famer. I mean, listen, when push comes to shove, it doesn't matter what ballot you go on. If that's how you want to judge greatness,
but that's what I don't understand. It's like if Ray says, "Well, I would vote for him in the second run, but not the first run." But why? Either you're a Hall of Famer. If you make the Hall of Fame on the first ballot, no one thinks you're John Elway. Right, John Elway was a better quarterback than Eli. I'm not an idiot. I can still determine who is a better quarterback. But to me, if you think he's worthy of going in, you think he's worthy of going in. And if you don't, you don't. And that's fine. That's up to you.
But I think that's how people keep score of who the real greats are, depending on when you go in. Like with baseball, I mean, what percentage of the vote you get? You know what I mean? Like Mariano. Yeah, I mean, that's a big deal. Right? I mean, like, and I'm sure
to go in unanimous is a big deal.
Like, I'm sure it would have been a big deal for Jeter until that jackwagon didn't vote for him. I mean, it's the whole baseball Hall of Fame.
All right, but still. Let's do this. Let's break. We'll come back. You had something to say about the Knicks and Jalen Brunson off the air earlier. We'll bring that on the air. 1-800-919-3776. It's DNR. We'll get to your calls on Eli and the NFL and the Combine and all of it as well on 98.7 ESPN. For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every single industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and the experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facilities safe and your people even safer. Call or click Grainger.com or just stop on by and say hello!
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN New York app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.